Penguin Random House Audio presents This Disaster Loves You by Richard Roper. Read for you by Christian Coulson. For Eleanor. Part 1. The County Arms, Thruppstone, UK. 5 stars, 210 reviews. Mary Atkinson 5 wrote a review, May 9, 2007. Charming pub, wonderful owners. My husband and I stayed here for our honeymoon and can't recommend it enough. It's such a charming pub, tucked away right on the coast, and the views are incredible. The food was absolutely amazing. Lovely wine and local beers, too. Really friendly atmosphere. The open fireplace must be incredible in winter. The best thing about the place is the owners, Brian and Lily, who are simply delightful. They've not been running the place long, but they're clearly doing a fantastic job. What a good team they make. We'll be back one day for sure. Highly recommended. The County Arms, Thruppstone, UK. 3 stars, 1,156 reviews. Mary Atkinson 5 wrote a review, May 9, 2017. Such a shame. My husband and I came here 10 years ago on our honeymoon, and we remembered having such a good time that we decided to come back to celebrate our wedding anniversary. Such a shame to see how downhill the place has gone over the years. I'm afraid the owner, Brian, who we remembered as being so cheerful and welcoming when we were last here, seems like he's completely given up. What on earth went wrong? Chapter 1. Today's Memories. How she'd shed her clothes where she stood, like she'd spontaneously combusted. The mysterious way she'd select a mug for her tea, absorbed in the task as if it was of life-changing importance. The dangerous flash in her eyes when she knew she was about to win an argument. The birthmark on her hip that I thought looked like Mount Rushmore, and she thought looked like a sparrow taking off. We compromised on Ringo's hair. Her bitter contempt for the existence of glacé cherries. The conversations she'd have with herself. Me with front row seats to the new hit one-woman show. Should I dye my hair? No, Lily, don't do that. I've got a headache, I said. Almost certainly terminal, she replied, cracking eggs into a pan. How long it took me to wake her when she was having a nightmare. A stray hair of hers come loose, surfing down the banister, clinging on for dear life. Her hand squeezing mine. Once, twice. Our signal. Time to go. Chapter 2. The County Arms. Now. At some point during the night, I must have crossed over into the unfamiliar terrain of my wife's side of the bed. Lying there now, I'm trying to remember whether we ever had a conversation about who would take which side, or whether one of us just staked our claim with a bedside table, planting a flag with an alarm clock or a paperback. I sit up in bed. It's bittersweet to have come across a gap in my knowledge like this. A blank space in the vast collage of memories of my life with Lily. I'm aware that if I'm not careful, I could spend the whole morning here, searching for that memory, seeking out the others that are missing too. It wouldn't be the first time I've sat here, lost to the past, unaware of how far the morning sunlight has crept across the wall. Not today, I think. Digging deep, I swing my legs out of bed, hearing the now familiar cracks and creaks as my body splutters into life. My right knee always seems to hurt first thing these days. I don't know why. I did Google it not too long ago while making my morning cup of tea, and I'd diagnosed myself with leprosy by the time the kettle had boiled. I should go to the doctor, I suppose. But the last time I went with a minor complaint like this, she told me, "These things just happen when we get older." That put a spring in my step, I can tell you. I'm distracted by something lying on the floor between my feet. It's Lily's watch, face down on the carpet. That's odd. I must have knocked it off her bedside table during the night. Clearly, I'd been flailing around in my sleep, though I can't remember having a nightmare. I put the watch back in its rightful place. Then I'm up and dressed in my carefully curated look of a 47-year-old man who's just got off a long-haul flight, and brace myself for another day. I wonder how many other people are waking up this morning in a pub. To be clear, I'm the landlord, so I've got an excuse. My pub is called the County Arms, purveyors of fine ales and spirits since 1874, and our bedroom, is up above the front bar. Even though it's been over a decade that I've been coming down the narrow stairs and through the door that brings me out behind the taps and pumps, it still feels peculiar to be in a pub at this time. The thousands of memories created in this place all seem to leave a little of themselves behind, like the ancient tobacco smoke that's coloured parts of the ceiling a dull yellow. Despite the thick silence, the place is still as a painting. If I close my eyes and concentrate, I can just about remember what a busy day felt like here. The convivial chatter, glasses being clinked, the distant chaos of the kitchen. Even if I sought 2 minutes of calm up in our bedroom, I'd still be aware of the constant symphony below of muffled voices, cutlery on porcelain, the swift crash of the cash register announcing another pint sold, and most of all, Lily's laughter. Standing here now, it's so quiet that if it weren't for the distant cry of a seagull, I'd feel like the only living thing around for miles. I open the hatch and come through the bar. Ever since I can remember, I've liked to do a circuit of the downstairs first thing. Ostensibly, this would be so I could clear up anything we'd missed the night before. But I also used to feel so in awe of how this place was actually ours, that we had managed to find our dream pub, that I just wanted to take in every inch of the place to remind me of that fact. It's not quite the same these days. There's nothing to clear away, and I haven't had to make up a room for a guest in months. When I glance around, I see a rotten window frame that's stuck fast with an inch gap at the bottom. The booth with an unexplained slash through its fabric. The damp patch by the skirting board. I assume the latter is what's causing the musty smell that pervades the pub, though I'm no longer sure how bad it is because I've got so used to it. As I finish my circuit, it strikes me that I can't actually remember the last time I left the building. A week? Longer? Best not to think about it too much. I comfort myself with the thought that when we first opened, over 11 years ago now, we were so rushed off our feet that we barely had time to leave the place then either. I stoop to pick up a beer mat, the one thing that's out of place. As I turn it over in my hands, I think, well, who's to say Lily and I won't be as busy as in our heyday once again? I look back to the bar and picture us there, caught up in one of our furious ballets. Lily flicking the Guinness tap on while I dive for twiglets, limbs looped through limbs, constantly in motion. I toss the beer mat onto a table and come back around the bar, settling myself on my stool. It isn't the most comfortable place to sit up here. I'm twisted at a funny angle, and my knees are cramped for room. But, crucially, it gives me the clearest view of the main entrance. There was so much riding on Lily and me making a success of the pub once we took it over, that the fact we had any customers at all was an enormous relief. But it wasn't until I started to notice people's faces when they came through the door that I knew we were going to be okay, that it had all been worth it. It was a wonderfully addictive thing to see, people shedding whatever worries had been occupying them as they set foot inside. That sense that they had opened a door to a new and exciting world, while simultaneously coming home after an arduous journey. I'd sit here and watch even the most seasoned pub-goer looking around in awe at the hearty fire, the gleaming taps, the dimpled glasses suspended above the bar catching the light. Yes, that look would say, this will do us nicely. These days, I watch the door even more closely.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?